Hey, hi, welcome. This is Great Idea, a Babysitter's Club podcast. I'm your host, Joy, and I am usually joined in this intro by my co-host, Danny, but you will hear her voice a little bit later on, along with special guest Charlotte Abbozzi, who is back for part two of this episode discussing the Netflix series, episode four, Marianne Saves the Day. It's a really, really fun conversation, but if you missed part one, you can pop back on our feed an episode and listen to that, or you can just start here. We're really grateful that you are here to listen, and I am also here to let you know that we are very aware that our schedule has been a little bit inconsistent over the last few months. I think I am very, very confident in saying 2020 is something that happened to all of us. So with that, we're gonna take a little bit of a rest, a little hiatus until early 2021, where we'll be back with more episodes. We are not going anywhere permanently, just taking some time to take care of ourselves and also plan out a little bit. And we encourage you all to take some time to take care of yourselves as well. Take care of each other. Rest, drink water. And we might pop in for a little special holiday episode, talking about some topical queer holiday things happening. But in the meantime, I hope you catch up on our past episodes, enjoy this one, and we will be with you again soon. Much love to everyone who's been listening. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you, and enjoy the episode.
Just talk about that new moon ceremony, everything with Dawn, the sage, her ethnically ambiguous mother, her aunt is Esme and she's a white witch, but she's a spiritual healer, and neo-shamanism, and oh my god. Like, I don't know where to begin. Oh my god.
The new moon in Scorpio. The new moon in Scorpio. And also, not only is it a new moon in Scorpio, Aunt Esme clocks Marianne as a Scorpio when she runs off and she goes, well, that's a Scorpio if I've ever seen one, which I found interesting. And I'm just like, is Marianne a Scorpio?
She's a Virgo.
Exactly. Oh my, you're so right. She's definitely an earth sign and she's definitely a Virgo because Virgos are the best earth sign. Hands down.
Well, her book sign is Virgo, so, but I don't understand where this came from.
It was, yeah.
They didn't do as much research as we do. So.
Exactly. And I'm like,
we haven't brought
huge.
Astrology into every episode lately.
But, and also, I'm just like, no, you know all the girls now, and like, you know, us at our old age. I'm like, we're all thinking about astrology, so you have to do this. You have to do right by this, because there's no way that Marianne's a Scorpio. And I love Scorpios. I have Scorpio in my chart, but it takes one to know one, and Marianne is not one.
Yeah, I'm a Scorpio.
Like, love that.
I just, like, maybe elsewhere in her chart, like, not her, like, sun, though. Like, she's
I wouldn't even say in the big three. Like, maybe, like, again, like, teen and adult will see something, but, like, in her childhood, there's no way she has Scorpio poking out. But yes, to go back to the new moon ceremony. Like what?
Ceremony?
Like, right. I know, share circle. Also a lot of like white women, it seems. I love
that.
Like,
were
they
all these suburban?
Right? It's just like this one white woman like starts taking up space and starts talking about her like ex-husband. And Esme's like, it's not about you, which is really funny. Just the whole thing, it's so funny. And also, like, Marianne's dad is supposedly so strict, but just, like, let her run off to a new moon ceremony in the woods of a park. What?
Yeah,
There's no way.
I love that line. She literally says, it's not about you right now, Barb. It's such a brutal shutdown.
I love it.
And I do love the, like, updating of Morbida Destiny to actually have a personality and to be a person with a name. But
yes,
but I can't stand white witches. I'm sorry. This is not a white witch safe space, safe zone. No.
It's not. No. It's not. And we will say that with full confidence in this month of October. I will say that with my chest. This is not a space, safe space for white witches. No way. And that's what Miss Esme is. And I'm just like, don't get it twisted just because your name is Esme, because your sister's name is Sharon. And once I find out y'all's last name, it's a wrap. Because, what?
Oh my god, wait, what is Sharon's last name? Schaefer?
So, do they change her last name? Because in the book, it's Dawn Schaefer, but, which is the whitest thing.
The whitest. That's like the white, like, fake name. Like, I feel like when I've heard the name Dawn in the past, I've just, like, subbed Schaefer in, maybe just because of the books, but it just, like, goes so well. So it's just like, and again, it's just like, okay, well, that's her dad's last name, I would assume. So Someone needs to let me know what the mom's last name is. Because, what?
Porter. Wait, isn't her last name Porter?
Yes, Sharon Porter. Yes. Well, but that was in the book, right?
Oh. I mean, yeah.
From the show, too. I think it is her. I don't know.
We're going to once the Dawn episode comes, we'll, like, be well-versed and, like, researched, because there's definitely a moment where they had to say, like, Miss something. Like, there was no way those little girls were calling her Sharon. Like, Christy, I mean, I was going to say Christy. I was literally just going to say Christy might be. Christy probably has. But the other girls.
Christy, like, calls her mom by her first name when she's mad at her.
Christy's like, also, what's so interesting, kind of going back to, like, Marianne's, like, non-supportive friends, in the cafeteria the day after that happens, first off, they make her cry, and she runs out, and no one checks on her, and she has this, like, ineffective conversation with her dad. And may I just say, her dad is so poorly casted, and I don't even mean that, like, on the actor. Well, one, I think he's a weird choice, because especially if you watch kids programming as much as I do, lol, he always plays that kind of weird character. He always plays, like, a stickler, like, always plays, you know, like, I feel like he's most known for, like, playing either, like, an agent or something. There's a show that he's, like, whatever. So him being so recognizable as, like, a character who often plays this kind of tough person, like, I don't know, he's just, like, type A. He plays that character of Marianne's dad everywhere else. So I'm just like, okay, this is an interesting casting choice, because it's like he's just so distant, which is hard, because I'm like, I get it, that's the type of character he is, like, wife died, whatever, whatever. But again, it makes it so much worse, Marianne being Black. And I'm just like, oh, this is terrible for her, because she has unsupportive friends, and now she has a father who cannot connect with her. And I don't even think it's like, oh, because my dad is this. I really think it's such a racialized barrier that they, like, don't write into, but that's clearly what it is. It's not because, I don't know, like, no matter how strict your dad is, all these things, right? Like, he should be able to identify when you don't, when you're sad and what disrupts you. I don't know. It's just so jarring that, like, he is a white man who, like, doesn't get it and, like, refuses to understand. And then for him to, you know, call all the parents and exacerbate it, which was wild, which was really, really wild. And for them to, like, again, use the actions of her white dad, who's, like, you know, probably in his 40s, and she's, like, young, middle school age, to use his actions against her again, because we see Christy do that in the previous episode, and then now we see all the girls do that, because her dad, wild, like, out, like, he did the most, which they should know that's what he is. Yeah, sorry y'all got grounded, but it's just, like, I don't know. But what I did find interesting was the verbiage and the actual dialogue in that cafeteria episode where Marianne tries to sit with Claudia and Stacy, And, you know, they tell her what her dad does. And Claudia's in her, like, amazing suit, which is an homage to Clueless, to Alicia Silverstone's character in the, like, this really great yellow checkered pantsuit. And she's just like, we just need some space. Which I'm just like, oh, okay. Like, y'all are in the wrong, but I'm also really excited that you know how to advocate that you need space. I'm like, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm conflicted. I mean, like, hell, this issue is because it's NYPD, but, like, I do like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place. And so, like, I think that he's, like, he does play, the actor does play that character in those shows.
Yes, yes, The Good Place. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah. And I think, I do like that, like, when we do get that moment of tenderness with him, like, and her, it obviously has all these things. I like that it's, like, very drastic from, like, his, like, stern self, but you're right, like, it's a weird casting. Also, like, but if a black black man, like, could have had that, like, tender nuance, like, toughness. And I remember when he first came on screen, we were like, who's,
like, right? I just, like, I couldn't believe it. I was, like, looking around, I was like, Marianne's dad? Like, he is, like, who is casting him as a dad? First of all, like, what? It just seems so, just not, like, again, like, Alicia Silverstone's casting as Christie's mom is so well done. Like, Mimi's well cast, like both Mimi and her and Claudia's sister, what's her name?
Janine,
yes,
Mimi. We love that actress.
We love that actress. Me and Janine, yes. Like, Janine's really well casted, and just, like, and Claudia's parents, just, yeah. I'd even say, like, Sharon, like, fine, like, that she makes sense as Don's mom, but the father is just so, I'm like, I get that he's strict, but I'm like, y'all also could have casted a black strict father. I mean, like, that would have been really relatable. And, like, and even a more, like, groundbreaking moment for them to have this, like, shared tenderness. It's, I don't know.
But also, it's Marianne's father and Christie's mom who, as parents, are the most fleshed out parents, which is frustrating because even though we do get Claudia's parents are, like, you know, appropriately casted as Japanese, they really, I mean, we talked a little bit about this in when we covered episode 2, but they just, they're not really fleshed out. Like, Mimi is very fleshed out, which, thank God, because we know how important Mimi is. Right. Is as a character to Claudia's story, but not the parents. And then with Sharon, again, her name is Sharon and she's, like, ethnically ambiguous. So it just feels frustrating that, like, okay, if Christie's mom was gonna get fleshed out and Marianne's dad was gonna get fleshed out, why did he have to be white?
Right. And it's just, yeah, it's such a barrier. And I'm just like, It truly makes no sense on screen. Sometimes you can, like, put, you know, these clear character and actor differences aside for the sake of the screen, but I just, like, can't help but think of every other role he's ever done when I see him on screen. And I am thankful for, like, Dawn, like, just as a character, I love her, but also, like, her introduction, because it shifts his character with, like, him having a past with Sharon, which, you know, is the cliffhanger at the end of this episode. Oh, well, sorry, I guess I just spoiled that. Well,
That's fine.
It's, like, you know, a moment for Marianne and Dawn to be really excited about. And so, like, I like the way he, like, turns around. And I get why he has to be, like, this strict person, especially, like, the culminating up to that room episode. But I'm just like, oh, gosh, it's just so ice cold. And I'm like, ugh, I don't know. I feel like Marianne is, like, really left to her own devices, if not for Dawn, which is just, like, I think what girls of color, like, know best. It's, like, the home situation will be trash, but we will go to school and find that, like, one friend who, like, we can identify with and, like, make a home with and have that safety, because they just really, her friends let her down. Like, for me, it's just the lack of reflection. that really just gets me. In the end, I was like taking note of the unapologetic apologies. Like, Stacy's the only one who verbalizes a sorry. She actually gives a verbal apology, and you know, Claudia's just like next to her, like really earnest in the face, nodding her head, but she's not saying anything. She just like, she's like, there's candy in the chair, and just like offers Marianne candy, and that's her form of apology. And Christy, her stank ass is in the corner pouting, and it isn't, Marianne has to do the work of being like, are you my friend too? Like, she has to do that work. Like, I just, and I'm like, she doesn't even get an apology. She doesn't get any, like, I don't know. I feel like she's not given the nuance of like, I don't know. I feel like all the girls have moments where they mess up or something, and that's like part of their storyline, and then like something bigger is revealed, like when we think of Stacy, right? Like this whole her keeping secrets, her lying because of this revelation, like we get all of those understandings. But for Marianne, like that full circle moment is never granted to her, and it's so frustrating.
No, you're right. I think the writers didn't realize that in trying to, you know, Marianne's whole thing as a character is her shyness, and that she has to overcome how shy she is and learn how to advocate for herself. And I think the writers thought that that's all that they were portraying, but what they were actually portraying is what you're saying about, she has a horrible support system. Oh my God. Like, her father isn't connecting with her. Her friends are unfair to her. And so it's no longer just like, oh, this isn't just about Marianne's shyness, because the way that they wrote it was just like a different story. Because like I said, in the book, the conflict, all four girls are mad at each other because they were all going at each other. So it didn't feel like they were all ganging up on Marianne for something that wasn't even her fault. And
I think they all apologize at the end.
They do. Yeah. They do. And it's just, yeah, it's like they wrote a different conflict and it ended up just making everyone in Marianne's life look bad, which is unfortunate, because you know, we're meant to think that these girls are all really supportive to each other, but yeah, it's not great in this episode. Although I will say, it's funny that, I mean, I think we're being rightfully critical of the way Marianne's dad is written in the show, but he is so much worse in the books. Like, when I tell you, like last episode, I just went off about how mad I am at Marianne's father, because in the book it's actually so much worse. Like, they're truly cold with each other, whereas the show, and I think that's part of why they actually cast him, because he's known for those comedic roles. Like, he's like strict and stern, but in a comedy sense, and you can tell that they really wanted that to also be the case here. So his like sternness is played for laughs, basically. Like, oh, he's kind of eccentric and zany, and he says funny jokes about how wheelie bags are orthopedically sound, you know? So it's like, okay, but honestly, he's right, because I have chronic back pain, and
oh my God, yes, yes. Honestly, I love that line, because I'm like, damn, if I would have known that, my whole body alignment would be like 100% better than it is now. Because when I say I've had back pain since the fourth grade, like true chronic back pain since the fourth grade.
I just recall like being a shitty middle schooler and being like, oh, they have a rolly bag, and I'm like, so smart.
So smart. And now they like get up and they stretch and probably run 5Ks and like look at us.
Honestly, like, I'm so glad that kids will have this episode to teach them better, because we did not know better. You know, yeah, but like Marianne's dad is not like that at all. He does not say a single joke ever in the book. So I'm
right.
It's yeah, like my only consolation is that it could have been worse.
It's true. It's true. And again, like his character, he comes around, but it's just so hard. And I guess in the mostly hard on him, because all of his misdoings boomerang back to Marianne, and she is that blame is placed on her. Like, if he grounds her, it's her fault. If he tries to stick up for her by like wrongfully, but still trying to stick up for her, wrongfully calling all the other parents, is her fault. Like, it's just like everything he does she is punished for socially, like parentally, like all of it. And I'm like, God, I'm like, why? Yeah, it's just like she has this shyness. She has so much. And also it's like shyness and low self-esteem too, right? She comes out of it later on in the episode, I'd like to think and hope. But it's like all of the things that she's saying, all these comparisons that she's making about her image versus her friend's image is rooted in low self-esteem. So I'm like, okay, now you're going to make the Black girl have low self-esteem. Like, it's just, it's hard. And not for like, not that I'm saying I necessarily want this, but you're not going to make her self-esteem issues like rooted in like anti-Blackness, misogynoir, and like, you know, just racism. Like, you're not gonna have those moments. You're just gonna have her look in the mirror and like kind of hate what she sees because her friends are like cool. I'm like, girl, like, you dress better than Christy. Like, Christy just gives, she just gives camp counselor couture like year round. Like, what are you saying? She rocks the normcore look. The kit and overalls go hard. Okay.
I mean, I will say, Christy looks so gay in this episode. Like, she's like the saddest lesbian through this whole thing. Like, the saddest white lesbian that you've ever seen in your life is Christy in this episode.
It's so funny. I saw a tweet. It was like, someone tell Christy that being mean and gay is not a personality. Like, and I was like, oh my God. It was like being young, mean, and gay. Or it was just like, you're not young. It was like something like, Christy, you're not like young and mean. You're just gay. Or something. And I'm just like, season two, hopefully, season two.
Oh my God. I mean, and that kind of ties back into the whole like Bailey thing is that like, I love that we get a young trans actor, and also like both the actress that plays Marianne Malia and Kaya Shapley, who plays Malia, retweeted our meme last week, which was really fun. Malia was super sweet, so like shouted out this, but because she's also like apparently like, she, like, I was reading some interviews with her, and she's like, yeah, like this like really helped me embrace my hair and my like Black girl magic, and I was like, yeah, but like, but like, don't fault her, but like, I also think that like, I'm really glad that we had the trans kid in this episode, but like, we've talked about this, and it's just like, why are all of the queer characters secondary? Like, it's the dad that's off screen, it's like the lesbian moms that get brief airtime, it's like this trans kid, and I'm like, we've said this so many times, but like, you're telling me there's five girls that hang out together and not one of them is gay? Like,
not even the one from California.
You know, I was like, okay. Dawn, like, like, you're telling me she's not like bi and like, are you chilling joking? Out here?
Like, she's a revolutionary. Like, there it's not a like
I know like one straight labor organizer. I don't know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah, it's so, yeah, I don't, yeah, that's such a good point about how they are all secondary characters. Because, yeah, I'm like, I would have loved to see Bailey Delvecchio come back. And also, it's like, that scene is so powerful where she tells off these doctors. Mm. It's really such a good, like, in terms of just the character building, it's so well done. But also, Bailey's parents come, and it's just like, bye! Like, we just don't. There's no follow-up, which I get, like, you know, half an hour shows, every episode based on a book and a different character. But I'm like, oh, yeah, super secondary. The lesbian mom, super secondary. Yeah, the dad who, like, is off screen or, like, literally only on screen via a telephone screen on FaceTime. Like, very, very secondary. Like, yeah. What's the secondary character I love though, and her poor name, Karen. Karen is so Christy's like young stepsister. She is a gem. I love that girl. Every time she's on screen, she's that girl. She's so good. She's so funny, and also like, she's like, in the, you know, the end, as the series like gets to the end, we just like see this like introspection in her, and like, because she's just like supposedly this like wacky person, but she's so deep. Anyway, shout outs to Karen, my personal secondary favorite character, because Mimi is not a secondary character to me. She is a main. But true. Yeah,
I love Karen. Love weird child.
Weird little girls are like the lifeblood of the earth.
Yes. Like, why I went into babysitting. True.
I think Karen probably grew up to be cool. Mm-hmm. And, like, I definitely think that, like, we're talking show, not book. Like, I definitely think that, like, Dawn and Marianne are friends. But, like, Christy's gonna have to do a lot of work for them to be, like, college-age friends.
Oh, my God. She's gonna have to do so much work. Christy's either, like, gonna, like, inherit her stepfather's, like, real estate business type of mindset, or she's gonna, like, go really intense and, like, major in, like, gender studies and, like, you know, like, just go that route. And, like, it, either way, the friends are gonna have to do a lot of work to be her friends, because either way, she's gonna be insufferable, whether she's a real estate person or, like, a gender and women's studies major. She's gonna be doing a lot in either of those places, and she's gonna be, like, to college age Marianne, oh my God, I read this book called Beloved. Like, have you read it? And Marianne's gonna be like, oh honey, welcome to my life.
Oh my God.
Danny's so stressed. Danny loves Christy so much. And I also love Christy so much. I'm hoping for nothing but the best future for Christy Thomas. I want her to grow up, redistribute her stepfather's wealth. Like, we're hoping for it. But, like, poor baby. She's gotta like, something beyond the art of war. Like, maybe read some other things with them.
I know, beyond the art of war. She really read that. That's so funny.
Here's the thing, though. Christy read the Communist Manifesto, think of the power she would have. Because like I said, Christy, I've said this in a previous episode, but she has drive and ambition. Like, she's got what it takes to do a lot, to do a lot in the world. We just need to steer her away from capitalism.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. She needs to. Yeah. The middle school, high school years are going to be really big for Christy. And I guess college. But we're really, depending on where she goes, I'm like, wow, you could literally grow up to, like, be a press secretary for, like, the Trump administration or whatever. Like, the girl who just caught coronavirus today, I think her name's, like, Kaylee McEnany or something. or you can probably also stay in politics and be like AOC. You could, like, I feel like if she could go into politics, and those are the two routes. Like, she could be, she's gonna, what I do appreciate from Christy is she's very, like, either all about something or, like, not about it. Like, she's not half with anything, which I really identify.
I like, love if you're gonna
go
like
all
that.
In, go all in it. I love it. I'm like, yeah, she's definitely a fire sign, because it's like she has it, like, strong opinions, very passionate. I love, I live, I receive it, I identify it, but the whiteness just really just comes through.
I just want to say, like, I will go off about this when we get to the camp episodes, but I have feelings about the fact that Christy's working class background is not included as part of her characterization. And a lot of the activism gets put on Dawn, and I will go off about Dawn in future episodes.
Right.
But I think it does such a disservice, because there is an opportunity there, and we literally have lines about Christy expressing, like, she's dealing with a huge socioeconomic transition. She's like, we have to call the utility company to keep our, like, electricity on. And now I'm moving to a mansion. So again, Christy, I firmly believe she could be an amazing communist organizer.
It's true. And also, it's like, let's not forget, because of her socioeconomic background, she started the Babysitters Club. Not necessarily, like, because she needed the funding. It's like, middle schoolers, like, could use money, don't necessarily need it, but it was because she saw her mom struggle to find affordable babysitters. Mm-hmm. That's it. And that's also, I'm glad you bring it up, because that's also such a redeeming and beautiful part of the story, is, like, her mom was like, she's just like, what, this person's $50 an hour, I can't find anyone, I'm sorry, like, can we make amends? And it's all because of class. It is 100% because of class. That's why she's also so skeptical of Stacy when, like, Stacy comes into the to the scene. And I think like that jealousy and that skepticism is really rooted in like class.
Christy makes like, so many comments about Stacy's class status. She makes comments about her family's car, about her being from New York City, about how she must have grown up with maids or whatever. It's very interesting. And this show doesn't flesh out class enough, basically.
Yeah, it doesn't. It really doesn't. And that's also a disservice because, again, if you're going to have five girls, like, yes, they all live in this what seems to be this affluent community, but it's like, okay, I still have a hard time really understanding in the show, have a hard time understanding what Marianne's dad does, because I'm like, in my first rewatch or in my first watch, like, you know, he's in the kitchen and he's doing a test run of something, and I was just like, oh, is he a chef? And then my second rewatch was just like, oh no, like the social security is like, does he work in, like, is he an FBI? Because like he also, him, that actor being a person who kind of like plays, you know, kind of authority roles. But then this episode again, I was like, oh no, he was just practicing Thanksgiving dinner, which is really funny in its own way. And I'm like, what does he do? Their house is huge. It's
in the book, he's a lawyer.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't know if the show ever includes that detail or not.
Yeah, because I'm like, even like Mrs. Delvecchio, he, like, you know, she's just like, oh, I work with your dad. I'm like, what does he do? It's like,
it's like CIA.
Yeah, right? Like, we don't know. Because I'm like, how is he? Because she's just like, yeah, he invited them over without looking them up. And also asking for their social security numbers. I was like, what you doing with social security numbers? Marianne saves the day, though. Also, like, the song, Marianne, like, I'm just like,
that was really cute.
Like, shout, it's so good. It's so, so good. I remember, like, my second rewatch, I was trying to, like, grab a screen capture. And so I just kept rewinding that scene for like one specific part. And just like rewatching it today, I was like, oh, I forgot how much I loved how they worked in the music with that, because Marianne's just really brilliant. And I don't know if that's like, if y'all find that it's like really highlighted that well and like how smart she is other than her being nerdy. I feel like nerdy is just, it's not, in the year 2020, I feel like it's not that much of an identifiable like character trait. It's just like, we are all nerds at this point in whatever we like. But she's like, she has a lot of wisdom, which I think her and Dawn share really well. Like, she says the bit about her father, like after she has this, she's just like, whatever, forget I said anything, bye. She says, and I quote, women want to express emotions and men want to find solutions for them. I was like, what? And she's just like, I read somewhere that, and then she says that. And I'm like, oh my God. And I love how she's just like, I read somewhere that women want to express emotions and men want to find solutions for them. And I was like, if that's not a whole word, Marianne, wow. That was a really good, just that like one sentence, I'm like, that is really good gender analysis.
No, I mean, she is so smart, and she's also just like such a good babysitter. Like, just the scene where like the way she like works, cares for Bailey, and just like the demonstration of like, I don't understand this totally, but I'm still going to like follow your cues and affirm you, is like so lovely, and takes so much maturity to like be able to be like, this doesn't seem right, like you're telling me that, and like just like listen, like let this child have agency, but like still like stand up for her. And it's just like, yeah, I do wish that was celebrated more. Yeah. Because I think that Bailey storyline is handled really tenderly in a lot of ways.
So tender.
And I do want to plug for our listeners to look up Kai Shipley's story, because it also, like, her real story is a lovely story of what it looks like for a parent to come around, because her mother really did not understand what being transgender was, and was like, made her child's life really hard and difficult. And they went through a really tough time. And then the mother, like, she learned how to be a better mother to her trans child. So I just think that it's a beautiful, you know, like, given that we see that in this episode, just what it looks like to maybe not immediately get something, but you can still be kind and compassionate. I also think that the actress's real story and what she's had to go through in her first 6 years of life, you know, is also beautiful. Worth reading about.
Yeah, and the actress is super sweet. She has a Twitter. I don't know if we talked about this or she runs it or like her family, but like we tweeted something about being like, oh, like a really lovely tender representation, and she's like, representation matters, and I was like, you're like, so small.
Oh my god,
she's so cute.
Wow. I have to check out her Twitter. That's so cute. I feel like that this also was the one episode where I stood up straighter and like was like, oh, hold on, something's really interesting is happening with Netflix, like, Babysitter's Club show, right? I was just gonna, like, not secretly watch it, but, like, I was gonna watch it anyway. But I'm like, wait, this is really, dare I say, progressive. Especially when you watch it the first go-around. I think it's, and I love that for Marianne, because I feel like it wasn't until this episode 4, Marianne Saves the Day, where I'm just like, oh, like, this is cool. Like, you know, they seem to be adapting to, like, you know, 2020. And I think it just, like, started. I'm like, it really set the bar high. And I feel like it's met, but it really, like, sets the bar high in terms of, like, them trying to tackle these progressive. Because then by the time we get to Claudia's episode, I'm like a wreck. I'm like, oh my god. I'm like, this is the most powerful children's programming I've ever seen in my life. Like, you know, just like shouting. Just like crying at like 1 a.m. Just like, I remember I stayed up until like 5, like just the sun was coming out, and it was perfect because it was like gloomy, and it was like the camp episode, and they're like, it's kind of gloomy, and I'm like, it was 7 a.m. I was like, that was great.
Oh, I cried multiple times during this show.
My second full season rewatch, every single episode. I'm not even joking. Every single episode, because by then I was just also like in love with all of them, even Christy. I was just crying. Like, I think one of the most like non-sad moments I cried, which, you know, maybe consider this a segment, like most non-sad moment I cried, was literally the first episode when they're like, when it's a montage. That's what killed me. I'm like, why are you crying at a montage? It's the montage where they're like getting the word out about their club, and it's like, I think what, there's a Lizzo song playing,
yeah,
in the crowd, and I forget if it's like, or Juice, I think it's just Juice, and it's the most upbeat scene, but I just weep. I don't know why, it's so powerful.
I think for all we like talking trash about like Christy and like this friendships, like there's something about seeing these like, yeah, 13-year-old actresses like playing 13-year-olds, like being friends and, yes, supporting each other, that's, yes, like, yes, makes me want to weep, like, yes, like in that, like when I, and also like the nostalgia of it that I really do think they capture, like it's just something I was like, yeah, you're right, like we should bring up least sad moment that you cry for. Yes. Because like the first episode, and then like bring out the phone, and I'm like, oh my god.
It's so, it just hits you. It hits you. I'm like, I think the another one, least sad moment was at the end of Stacy's episode with the baby. I just lose it. Like, they're all holding Stacy's holding the baby, and they're all around her. And like, there's a moment where I think Stacy, like, either makes a comment where like she questions if she's a good babysitter, and I remember being like, you are a good babysitter, Stacy, you're such a good babysitter. And I'm like, and I can say that as a babysitter, I promise you. Like, literally just, like, babbling at my screen.
I also cry at that closing shot because also the song that they played is so emotional that it just, you know, it all comes together to be like, okay, that's a tearjerker moment.
So, it's so well done. It's a really, it's a well done show. I mean, like, there are kind of, like, older, because I guess in terms of fiction in the children's world, right, like we call this middle grade, like, you know, this middle grade fiction, so like not for like young kids but still young enough, definitely not high school, definitely not past that. So like I guess, you know, an opposite is like Riverdale, which is like very, you know, high school, very grown up, which is so funny. And I bring that up to say I'm like, Riverdale could never. I'm like, this is quality TV. I have told so many people to watch this and I'm like, no. People are like, oh, I feel like it's a little young, and I'm like, no, but watch it. And people have reported back with all good things, and I'm like, I wouldn't steer you wrong. I really would not steer you wrong. I do, of all the trash we have talked about, certain big flaws of some of the characters, it is still such a wonderful show. And I love what you said, Joy, about them being like 13-year-olds playing 13-year-olds. That is so important because we grew up with the complete opposite of that, which really messed up our perceptions of like body and beauty and like class and all of these different things. It's like, when you have teenagers and 20-year-olds playing high school students, or like, you know, late age teenagers, that's a problem. Like, even, you know, on the Disney Channel, it's like they were early 20s still playing these characters where we're like, oh, they're in school, so they're like us. And it's like, oh, I want to dress like that. I want to, you know, all these different things. And it's like, this is, I feel like for this generation of like new television, they're actually casting based on ages. It's like, cause you know, when you think of Glee, all of them were in their 30s.
And like, or Riverdale.
Right, right. And Riverdale, yeah. Like, which is very, yeah. Ugh.
You know what it is though? It's when women are creating TV that they properly cast their characters. Men, absolutely. Men will never. You just cannot trust men to ever, especially if it's gonna be about teenage girls. I'm thinking about Euphoria. Oof. And stuff like that. Oof. Just never trust men to do anything. But yes, you're so right. Also, it's
funny that we're talking
about crying, because this, it's actually the middle chunk of episodes that are the most emotional. Like, starting with Marianne saves the day, but the next two episodes are also, like, total tearjerkers. I remember Joy and I, when we were watching these episodes, it was just, like, we watched, I think, these three back-to-back, and we're, like, crying the whole time, and then it just veers into, like, Boy Crazy Stacy, which was bizarre.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What was Stacy as a fever dream of an episode?
That whole episode is really like, and that's another thing. It's like this moment where like this is a part of Stacy's character that she has to like contend with and like try to rein in check, because but what I was talking to my best friend about this just a few days ago, because she finally watched it. She moved all the way to Bratislava, but like she finally watched it, and she's just like, I like, because she didn't read the books. She's a little bit younger than me, and she's like, I like that Stacy's boy crazy, and I'm like, you know what? Me too. I like, it's like the one thing she has, and I like how it's kind of the central part of her character, even when it's not like that boy crazy episode is like it's really frustrating. But just like as an aside, I feel like all of her other crushes are just very sweet, like, because you think they're gonna take over the episodes, but they don't. Like, when Christy's brother walks into the room and she's just like, I was like, oh no, is this gonna be an entire episode about how she has a crush on him? And it wasn't. It was just like, just a crush she has. It's just so funny. I like, I do appreciate that element of her character.
Stacy, distinguished by or disaster by?
Ooh.
What were the two options?
Is Stacy disaster by or distinguished by?
Disaster?
Distinguished she... passing, but truly disaster.
But truly. Yeah, yeah. It's the, there's a lot of chaos in her. She's also like, she gives me deep water sign like vibes, which like, I don't know if y'all see this. Y'all get that. I'm like, she has these like really, but she's Stacy, you want to hear my chart? My Babysitter's Club character chart.
We did, okay, yeah, to preface this, we asked Charlotte to prepare what her sun, moon, rising babysitter characters are.
Yes.
So do you want, yeah, do you want to share?
Okay, and we can unpack this, and this could be subject to change, but I feel confident to say I am a Claudia sun, a Dawn rising, and a Stacy moon.
Ooh, that's fun. Mm-hmm.
I'm very interested to hear what a Stacy moon would be.
Yes, I'm glad you asked, because I was going to dive deep. Because it's like, again, Stacy gives me water sign vibes. I'm a Cancer moon. And I just like, I really, really love Stacy. I feel like it's interesting, her character, and like, she doesn't really take up space in the series at all that much. But I find, I like love her essence, and in the way that she's like, she's very, you know, she's like responsible, and she has this like health issue, and like, you know, she kind of has this terrible mom, actually, right? When we talk about unsupportive parents, she has this like mom who's kind of ashamed of her situation. But she just like really kind of head held high, but also she just like loves fashion and like interior design, and has those kind of like more innocent qualities to her, which like I also think is very like only child of her. And I'm not an only child, but I don't know, I feel there's a kin I have, and maybe as someone who also like has like health issues, just like dealing with that like young too, I'm just like, oh wow, like you have to be responsible for your body so much sooner than your peers have to. And I feel like that gives her this like maturity, but it doesn't age her, because she still has like silly moments of like being boy crazy, and also saying things like, this rug is my husband. That is the line of the series for me. One of the lines of the series for me. And yeah, I think she's really sweet, and I have a softness to her. Do y'all have charts? I would love to hear.
So I was just thinking about this the other day. I think I'm a Marianne sun. Claudia rising, and then like Dawn moon.
Ooh, I'd love to hear the rationale behind those choices.
Tell me about Dawn moon especially, because I don't know why I always want to know about like people's moons, but
yeah,
because I'm also undecided on my moon and considering Dawn moon, so I want to hear what your take on what a Dawn moon would be.
What's a Dawn or Claudia? So I mean, I don't know if y'all know this, I'm from California.
You know, I'm hanging up right now. I'm getting off this call.
No, I don't know. No, I think that Dawn, like, is very family focused, very like loyalty focused, like thinking, and like just kind of, especially show Dawn. I think the way that she like tackles things feels related to my Leo moon-ness. I'm a Scorpio Leo, so I like have this weird like contradiction of like confidence and not, and like need to be liked. So yeah, what would you say I was, Danny, if this is something that is making you pause?
I wouldn't disagree with that. I think that's a fair assessment. I was more like just curious to see like which parts of Dawn strike you as the moon part for you.
I'm going to ask you what yours is, but I also feel like we need to expose you as saying that before we started recording, Danny was like, I have to go ask my girlfriend what I am.
The best part. The best part. Hold on. I have to ask. my girlfriend.
So
y'all leave me alone. It just helps.
What did your girlfriend say you were, Danny?
Validation. Okay, so I specifically asked her about my rising because I had my other two signs down, but I couldn't decide my rising. So I'm a Christie sun. I feel like Charlotte's gonna hate me for that.
No, live your truth.
I'm a Christie sun. I think Dawn Moon. I was undecided between like Marianne Moon and Dawn Moon, but I think Dawn Moon. But actually, for like none of the reasons that you mentioned, Joy, I feel like Dawn's very centered, and I've been told that I'm very centered in my emotions and like in tune with them and at least self-aware of them. So I think that that tracks for me. And then rising, I had to ask my girlfriend whether she thought it was a Christie rising or a Marianne rising. And she said Marianne rising. And I think that's accurate. So Christie sun,
yeah.
Dawn moon,
yeah.
Marianne rising.
I agree with that assessment. I feel like you are totally a Marianne rising. And I love what you say about Dawn, because Dawn is also very grounding. And I feel like you are also very grounding, Danny. I feel like you are the glue in a lot of your relationships, and just like in your communities, and Dawn is very clearly that as well. And so I love that. I love Dawn. That's my rising. Like, it's for me, I'm just like, when I did my first rewatch and I was like obsessively looking into like discourse online about the show, I was taking this like literally this like bootleg quiz, and it was like, which Babysitter's Club member are you? It wasn't even like a good BuzzFeed ones, because that's really all BuzzFeed does well. But it was literally just like whatever. And I kept on taking it, like, because I kept on getting like Claudia Dawn. I feel like one time I took it and I got Marianne, and I was like, absolutely not. And
is
then
it,
I got like Dawn.
Show or book?
It was the show. Yeah, it was the show. But it was always, you know, ask you questions that like don't really relate to anything. It's just like, what is your favorite setting and stuff like that. And then some are super specific, so you know if you're gonna click it, you're gonna like, it's like, what is the ideal way to spend a summer? It's like camp or art camp, and I'm like, okay.
Like the early Harry Potter quizzes where they're like, would you rather like what is your dream, like to be a snake, to care for other people.
To be a snake. I will send it to y'all.
Yeah, I would love this.
Please do. But also, I wasn't prepared for all of those nice things you just said, and I really appreciate them.
It's true. It's so true. I mean it.
And I should clarify that I do love Dawn. The issues that I'm alluding to has more to do with like how her characterization plays into her race and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But I do love her. Like, she really is such a lovely character. So
yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
But no, interesting. Oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I also think that Danny's great and love her. So
yeah.
I love y'all.
What were you going to say?
It's true. I was going to say, I'm glad you brought that bit up about Dawn, because it reminded me to I did want to unpack this. I feel like Danny, you and I might have unpacked it in text, because not only is Marianne essentially a whitewashed black girl, even though she's a black girl, you know, I would argue that both Dawn and Claudia are also whitewashed versions of their races. And so, like, thus, it makes for a really pale-ass cast. And just, like, and not even just pale, I'm just, like, there's a reason, because I find myself, like, leaning towards what they want of me. I'm just, like, oh, like, Claudia is packaged in a way that's very palatable, and so is Dawn. And it's just like, so not only is Marianne this like super, super, super fair, you know, black girl, she is not alone in that. It's like, we have Claudia, who also is like, not even just in skin color, but just kind of like in other essences, and also Dawn, right? Because it's like another thing, it's like, okay, Dawn is a Latina from California, and that's how she looks like. Love to her characters. I love these characters so much. They are like the actors, you know, they're like gems. But it's really interesting. I'm like, okay, so these three girls of color are essentially just like, they're very close to whiteness in terms of like the looks versions, but also like what their characters and class backgrounds represent.
You should join us for the camp episodes.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that.
Yes, you definitely need to come back.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I just want to say I'm super grateful for like this perspective and this like nuance that you brought in. And like, I think that something that we're trying really hard to do is like both love something and critique it.
Absolutely.
So grateful that you joined us today.
I'm so grateful to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I love this, and I could talk to y'all about Babysitter's Club forever. So truly, truly, it is an honor to be here. I will. I will.
This was so, so fun.
Yeah. We do KidKit recommendations. So I was wondering if there's anything that this like reminds you of that you want to recommend.
Yeah. So off the top of my head, so I work in like literary events and literary arts. Specifically right now, I work at an independent bookstore, and also just in my time babysitting, I like read a lot of books with kids. So my KidKit recommendation is not that fun because it is a book, but I think it is a spectacular book, especially in the scope of Marianne Saves the Day this episode. My recommendation is a book called What Makes a Baby by Corey Silverberg, and it is an amazing picture book about reproduction. And it is unlike anything I've ever read before. Like, I've bought it to so many parents, especially like queer parents, because it depicts like what makes a baby in the most like, hate to even use the word progressive, but in such a progressive way. Like, it just talks about bodies and like nothing about gender, nothing about like any of that like landscape. It's just really, really powerful. And I just like love it so much, and it's beautifully illustrated. And yeah, What Makes the Baby by Corey Silverberg is my KidKit recommendation.
I love that. Was just hanging out with a queer parent, so I'm really excited to maybe get that for them.
Yes. It's such a good gift. It's such a good gift. Yeah.
Thank you. Danny, do you have yours prepped?
Yeah, so my KidKit recommendation is going to be the documentary Disclosure on Netflix. It's all about trans representation in the media over decades, and it's really, really good. It interviews a lot of trans professionals in the industry, actresses, also critics and scholars. And I also think that it's the long overdue companion to this other documentary called The Celluloid Closet, which I think is from 1995. And that's all about gay and lesbian representation in the media over the decades. And so, yeah, when I say long overdue companion, I think it's obvious why. And so really, I'm recommending both of those documentaries. And I think that also gay and trans representation are so related to each other because it all has to do with gender and what were the rules of gender and what was permissible in film and TV. So both very good documentaries I recommend checking out.
Wow, so many good things today. I guess I'm going to go in a different direction. but I've been reading a lot of romance novels recently because I need the lightness. And so I read the whole series semi-accidentally, didn't realize that the second book was by the same author, but Jasmine Guillory.
Yes, yes.
Have you read?
I haven't, because I haven't read any like contemporary romance novels, but this month my store's book club is reading The Wedding Party. I think that's what it's called. Or is it The Wedding Date? The Wedding something.
The Wedding Date is the first one, and then there's The Proposal and The Wedding Party and Royal Holiday. I'm looking at it on my Libby app right now. Shout out to Libby Library.
We love Libby. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I was reading a lot of, oh god, I'm gonna admit this on camera, I was reading a lot of, like, mediocre, like, historical romances, because I was like, my brain is reading all this news, and I need to unplug for, like, half an hour while I read this book. Also, like, I love romance, like, yeah. And then I started reading some, and I was like, wow, when authors actually talk about race, and, like, it's not, like, colorblind writing, or it's not just white people, like, it feels really different. And so she's a Black woman, and the books are all, like, different romances, but they're all in the same universe, so you still get to keep the characters throughout, which is really fun. And I think the first one is a Black woman and romance with a white guy, but there's other interracial romances that aren't just, like, Black-white interracial romances throughout it. And it's just, like, really fun. Also, like, not kid appropriate, so there's sex. So different from this kid's book recommendation, but yeah, really fun and a good lighthearted read.
Love that. I will definitely, I really want to watch the Disclosure documentary, and also we're, like, literally reading that book this month, so I will text you about it, Joy.
Yeah, let me know what you think. I'm sure there's nuances to it that I'm missing, but, like, I don't know. I just really enjoyed it. Yeah, and also, my other recommendation is your work. I was going to be like, I should recommend Charlotte's Twitter and poetry.
Wow, me?
Yes, wow. Echoing that recommendation.
So how can people, like, follow you, support you, Venmo you? Like, what is...
Wow. Thank you. I make it easy for everyone. All of my apps are, like, my first and my last name. So that's, like, Venmo. It's, like, Charlotte-Abotsi, A-B-O-T-S-I, the last name. But also follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Charlotte-Abotsi. I also have a Bookstagram, which is a book Instagram called Charlotte versus the Canon. So that's at Charlotte vs the Canon. Yeah, and yeah, I love the internet. So find me on there. Thank you.
Yes. Find her, follow her, do all the things. Yes. Send her money.
I love that.
You know, what feels good to you today? And you can find us at Great Idea Podcast on Instagram, on Twitter at GreatIdea_pod, on Facebook at Great Idea Babysitters Club Podcast, and email us at podcast.greatidea@gmail.com. And I think that's it for today.
That's our episode. I love you both.
I love you all so much. We saved it. We saved the day. We did it. Just like Marianne. We
saved the day. I love it.
We saved the day.
Saved. We saved the day. We saved the podcast. Okay, we're going to go to sleep now. Much love.
Bye.
Stay gay, ladies.
Stay gay, ladies.